And you know what that means. That means it's time to light it off.
Commanding you to bow down.
I'm on your side.
By branding you as a rebel.
But you're not.
A traitor.
This isn't freedom. This is fear.
We are not the government. The government is not us.
This is the Files.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Dino Files. Man, it has been a hell of a week. It's been an absolute hell of a week. I am, man, you know, sometimes you're just not sure what to frickin' do next, man. This is gonna be a pretty heavy show. I'm really sorry, but a lot of shit came together all at once, and it's gonna make this a relatively heavy show. I'm so glad to have people in the chat. Maxo's there, Idiots Query's there, Birdo's there. I'm so glad to have all these people here because I'm gonna need to lean on some people to get through this thing. Cause fuck, we're gonna have some dark topics today. A lot of shit has happened, especially in the last 24 hours. But for those of you that follow me in other places, you all know that I've had some shit happen in my personal life, and I'm gonna keep it basic, but basically, I lost my family, and that kinda sucks. So, I've been having to deal with that, and for all of this shit to come up all at once, it's gonna make this show a little heavy, but every topic that I'm gonna be talking about here today is very important, and I wouldn't talk about it if I didn't think it mattered. So I really do want everyone to understand if it feels a little heavy, I understand it feels heavy because it is heavy and it's heavy because it's important. And I don't just want to be dark to be dark. This shit's, you know, I try to be positive. I try to be solution focused. I try to be all of that stuff, but there's just some shit going on that we need to address. This also means that there's no interesting legislation on the docket for today, nor is there an interesting article on the docket for today, because there's going to be a relatively long conversation that's going to happen before we get to our main topic, which I'm going to reveal later because I don't want to scare anyone off. Idiot says, darkness is my baby. Yeah, I understand. I'm not averse to it, but I tend to try and stay more positive and stuff, and it's just going to be hard this time. What we will have is news. What we will have is news. And with that said, let's jump into the news. First, some really, really good news. Data, in fact. A new survey from thefire.org. Amazing shit going on here. New survey. Vast majority of students want due process rights that colleges refuse to provide. Here's their bullet points. 85% of respondents think students accused of misconduct should be considered innocent until proven guilty, but only 30% of top schools guarantee this vital protection. Next point. 8 in 10 students surveyed think that... That's 80%. I don't know what. Students surveyed think that students accused of breaking the law should be allowed to have a lawyer help them in campus disciplinary proceedings, but only 3 top colleges allow it. Next point. Colleges argue that due process can be minimal because hearings are merely educational. Students overwhelmingly disagree, with 84% responding that the primary purpose of campus disciplinary hearing is to provide justice and protection to students on campus. If colleges are saying, now look, I don't know if my specific college said this, but if colleges are saying that disciplinary hearings are merely educational, they're bullshitting some people. Because when I had to go to a disciplinary hearing, when I got arrested years ago, for bullshit, the charges were dropped in the interest of justice because it was horseshit. The cop arrested me because I didn't lick his boots. The campus disciplinary hearings are not just educational. You can be put on academic probation through one of those hearings. You can be put on real probation. Like they'll kick you out of the school if you fuck up again type of probation through one of those hearings. When I had to talk to one of the people on campus, one thing that's very interesting about universities is that when I was going through my thing, my legal trouble, when I was going through all of that, I learned that the college campuses do not have to prove anything beyond a doubt, beyond a reasonable doubt. They don't have to do that. Their standard is the preponderance of the evidence. Now, those are two different standards. One, preponderance of the evidence means like, yeah, probably. And beyond a reasonable doubt means beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, I was able to argue my case sufficiently that the school didn't take any disciplinary action on me. They easily could have. Because if you're from a certain perspective, the preponderance of the evidence, simply having been arrested is enough evidence that you probably did something wrong, right? From a certain point of view. So they very easily could have taken disciplinary action against me. They chose not to, which was the right choice because the arrest was bullshit. And so was the charge. That's discussed in a very early episode of Dino Files, if you're more curious about that. But I'm very interested in this survey because students understand how stilted this whole process is. Students understand how broken this whole process is. And universities seem to not give a shit. And these are not like private universities. These are state-supported universities. These are federally supported universities. This is government happening. And due process is not respected. It's a fascinating thing. And I think students are getting sick of it at this point, especially with all the stories that we've heard of false rape allegations and all this other stuff. People have been kicked out of school or placed on probation for allegations that were false. People have been kicked out of school and placed on probation for exercising their right to free expression in a way that was politically incorrect. And you can say what you want about the jerks on the bus who were singing that stupid song. It's their right to sing a stupid song. So I'm fascinated to see where this is going to go. What we're seeing here, you would think so, idiot's query. They have to follow due process if they're subsidized by the feds, he says, except that they don't. Because disciplinary action against a student on a campus is not, it's not legal action against a student. It's not prosecutorial. You're not being charged with a crime. So that's the logic behind not having to actually follow due process for disciplinary hearings on campus. You're not actually being charged with a crime. And that's where stuff breaks down. So that's what's very interesting with that I find. What you're seeing here, I think, sociologically, what's fascinating about this is what you're seeing is you are seeing academia, the liberal sociology of academia that we get social justice warriors from and all that other stuff. You're seeing that butt heads against the real fucking world. And it's causing problems. Of course, it's causing problems because when you bump delusion up against reality, something's got to give. No, idiots queer. They do not care about fairness. That's the thing. It's very similar to what we're seeing with Me Too, where people are totally willing to just absolutely burn somebody to the ground based on allegations alone. I've talked about that before. My view on that is a bit more nuanced than I just made it sound. I've talked about that before. I wrote a whole piece on the Rogue File. But yeah, no, they don't care about fairness. It's not about fairness. It's about the safety of the campus. And that's where they get all that shit from. Moving on. This is something that's going to terrify everybody. From thehill.com, Apple to close iPhone security loophole used by law enforcement. This was written on the 13th. Apple said Wednesday that it's closing a security loophole that many law enforcement agencies use to break into phones and other devices. The company plans to upgrade its product security with software update that disables the device's charging and data port 1 hour after it's locked. While phones can still charge in that window, a phone's owner must log in with their password, fingerprint, or a face scan to transfer data. Law enforcement had previously been able to break into and obtain data from phones by connecting them to devices running special software, bypassing the phone's security features. After an hour, law enforcement wouldn't be able to use such devices. Apple said its changes were made with criminals in mind who can exploit the same vulnerabilities as law enforcement to break into stolen phones. Quote, we have the greatest respect for law enforcement, and we don't design our security improvements to frustrate their efforts to do their jobs, end quote, an Apple spokesperson said over email. The company stressed that it made the changes with its consumers in mind first. So that's been an exploit in the iPhone, apparently. A lot of people don't realize that power and data and all that stuff, that's all these different things that happen through the USB cable are carried through different pins on those actual cables. And that's one of the things, that's one of the reasons if you actually wanted to disable certain parts of a device, like let's say that you wanted to disable the ability to transfer data from a device over USB. If you knew which pin in the port that was, all you'd have to do is break that pin and it wouldn't be able to transfer data anymore. It's a very interesting way. Sometimes it's more than one pin and it's not always standard, but yeah, that's basically it. It's very interesting from a hardware perspective, but yeah, your iPhone's been vulnerable to this forever, I suppose, or whenever this kind of thing was introduced. And I don't like the fact that they use the term special software. Typically, this stuff has a name, or the exploit has a name. It kind of feels like bad journalism to me to not actually give all the information, but that's just me, my preference. Now, even something more terrifying, those are those words in that order. From AP, little short blurb from the Newswire, but scary one. New German FM wants Europe united to counter America first. This is through the Berlin Wire on the 13th of June. Germany's new foreign minister says that Europe's response to U.S. President Donald Trump's America First strategy should be Europe united. In his first major policy speech since taking office, Heiko Maas said, European Union should strive for a, quote, balanced partnership with the United States. Maas say this means working with Washington where possible, filling voids in areas where the U.S. is withdrawing and pushing back where America is seen as crossing red lines. Speaking Wednesday in Berlin, Maas said that the EU should also increasingly move toward majority and away from unanimous decision-making, which encourages foreign powers to try and split the bloc. Maas also called for the EU to strengthen its outreach to former Soviet republics and said Germany and France can be a driving force in reforming Europe. If you've been following any of the stuff out of the EU, you know that Herr Juncker the Drunker has been calling for a European military, something that they said was never going to happen. When the EU was first formed, one of the stipulations of that was that it would not ever be a military alliance. It was simply a economic one. Semi-political one. It wasn't really supposed to be all that much of a political alliance either. Originally, it was supposed to be just an economic alliance, never a military one. And we're seeing that tide turn, especially post-Brexit. So this is fascinating and terrifying as well. This is the flip side of populism. This is the reaction to the populism of Donald Trump, to that kind of nationalism. You're going to have that happen elsewhere as a direct effect, and we're seeing this in Europe now. And I think that we will see, within the next probably 10 years or so, we will see a pseudo-military or paramilitary force that is tied directly to the EU. The EU as a bloc, not individual countries. Which is not good, for a lot of reasons. But primarily because, as an anarchist, as a libertarian, as whatever, what you want is you want to make these things smaller. You want smaller countries. Not bigger ones. You want to be working toward dissolving these types of powers. And it's kind of like you want to be working towards secession, and then you want to secede and secede and secede until you get all the way down to individual secession. And this is counter to that. So it's moving in the wrong direction, as far as I'm concerned. Here's another story. I've had this one in my back pocket for a while, and since I haven't done a show in a while, it's just kind of sat there. So I'm not sure if there have been any updates, but the EU is becoming the USE, says Maxo in the chat. Yes. Yes, it is becoming the United States of Europe, which it was never meant to be. Ever. But once you unify your currency, what's the next logical fucking step? I mean, everybody saw this coming. Or not everybody, I suppose. A lot of people saw this coming when the first treaties were signed. Like, this is going to cause problems. But whatever. It will, what will happen, I suppose. Next story. Published on May 29th of Business Insider. The $66 billion Bayer-Monsanto merger just got a major green light, but farmers are terrified. Their bullet points. Bayer, a German pharmaceutical and chemical company, has won approval from the U.S. Justice Department to buy agricultural giant Monsanto. Farmers are worried about what the consolidation might mean for prices and their future business. Whereas Bayer and Monsanto claim the move will spur innovation, and other analysts have expressed skepticism. A blockbuster deal between Bayer and Monsanto is moving ahead. Under a proposed settlement filed on Tuesday, Bayer agreed to sell its seed and herbicide business to German chemical company BASF, a move that the U.S. Department of Justice required for the deal's approval. Bayer and Monsanto first announced the $60 billion deal in September 2016, saying the move would boost agricultural research and innovation. By the time 2050 rolls around, the world will have 100... This is a quote, by the way. By the time 2050 rolls around, the world will have 10 billion people and the demand for food will double, Rob Frey, Monsanto's outgoing chief technology officer, told Business Insider last year. Quote, the whole point here is that the business combination between Monsanto and Bayer will allow the companies to invest in and create more innovation. It's going to take a huge amount of innovation in order to double the world's food supply, end quote. This is a major fucking problem. This is a, it's not a direct lie, but it's spin. Because anybody who knows anything about this stuff knows that there is enough food in surplus that if it were distributed, everybody could be fed. And I'm not talking about, like, some people have to eat less and then that gets distributed over. No, we do not use 100% of our food supply. Not even close. Not by a long shot. Every single person on the planet could eat if we just took the surplus and gave it to people. The idea that, first of all, the idea that the world's gonna, that the population's gonna increase to 10 billion by 2050, I doubt that. Very deeply I doubt that. Population growth is slowing worldwide. I seriously doubt that we're going to hit 10 billion people in 2050. Maybe one day, but I don't think 2050 is reasonable. It's Corey said, don't be a commie. I'm not saying we should do that. I'm just saying that's the numbers. Like that's the way the, I know you're just playing, but that's the numbers, like that's how much food is used. So for him to say that the demand for food is going to double with 10 billion people, no, it's not. Demand right now is lower than supply by a ridiculous margin. You don't need to double your production. You don't. You just, that's not true. I don't know how else to say it. It's false. Good fucking God. Now, what they did say is that Bayer agreed to sell its seed and herbicide businesses to German chemical company BASF. I don't know who that is, and I don't know what their connections are to other companies. But this does mean that Bayer, it will only be running then at that point, the Monsanto side of the seed business. Which is bad enough, by the way. Monsanto has almost monopolized the seed business. But Bayer is a competitor of theirs. And so the Justice Department basically said, look, if you're going to acquire this company, you have to sell your seed business. Because you can't, you're the only two people who make seeds. And what's amazing about this too is that Axo, BASF built Auschwitz as source plate? I don't know. If you can find that, that would be amazing. But holy shit. I don't wanna say that's true. If you can find that source somewhere, that would be incredible. What was I saying? Oh shit. They did, I just don't know how to spell it. Okay. I will absolutely take your word for that. That's like weird. That's all weird, though. Like, if you go back to the Nazis and stuff, like, Hugo Boss designed the uniforms. Like, that's, like, it's kind of crazy, like, the way that companies were involved with that. And I am not convinced, personally, that they've all left that, that behind. But, they told Bayer, you've got to sell your seed business if you're going to buy Monsanto. And, because those are the only two people. That's it. It's Monsanto and Bayer. I live in an agricultural area and that's all there is. Like as a farmer, one of the interesting things that people really don't understand about farming, you don't replant seeds from your last crop. That's illegal because the companies that create these seeds, that modify these seeds, it would be akin to copyright infringement for a farmer to replant seeds from their previous crop. That's something a lot of people don't know, and it's fascinating and also terrifying. But so this deal is going through. I'm a little shocked at it, but I guess I really shouldn't be. Oh, goodness. Goodness gracious. So the next thing I want to talk about is seeds from the previous crop of GMO plants are sterile. Is that true? Are they all sterile? I didn't know that. I was not aware of that. Thanks, Maxo, in the chat. I was not aware that GMO seeds are sterile. Is that true across the board, or is it just for, like, most varieties, or designed to be that way, some may slip through? Okay, good to know. That's really good to know. All right, so next topic is one of the heavy topics. I'm going to take a drink real quick. This is where it starts, folks. Okay, you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to break for just a second. I am, it's been 25 minutes. I am going to break for just a second. Probably about 60 seconds total, actually. I'm just going to take a quick minute break because I need to collect my thoughts and I don't want to jump into this half-cocked. Maxo in the chat said code for bong hit. God, I wish. Oh, do I wish. No, it's not. I really do wish it was, though. So I know that there's a little bit of crossover between I've got to quit saying so much. I really just need to kind of, I guess, power through this. There is quite a bit of crossover between libertarians, ANCAPs, voluntarists, agorists, that kind of thing, and anti-SJW, like, YouTube culture, kind of, where we kind of have Sargon of Akkad and Lo Ping, who is no longer called Lo Ping on Twitter, and Armored Skeptic, people like that. There's this crossover that kind of happens where that Venn diagram meets. In fact, some of the people that are in the ANCAP community are also anti-SJW YouTube personalities. There's a lot of that crossover that happens. And very recently, about a week ago, Lo Ping, who I'm going to call Lo Ping, even though he's not called Lo Ping anymore. I think he's now called CalArts and Pandas. But he posted a comic from a Tumblr artist named Rizzy. And this comic was basically a distillation of the feelings that a young queer man has living in a society that is an Islamist society. And I say Islamist because that's the word I like to use for that. A society where a chunk of it is Sharia-based and a young queer dude is in trouble. He's not that young. He's freaking my age. But young as far as young in, like, the universal sense. Relatively young. And it was very touching. It was a very touching comic. It was heartfelt, and it affected me. There's something I think we all understand, sort of, that, yes, there are LGBT people in Islamist societies, and they struggle. We all kind of know that intellectually, but there was something about it being presented in art that way that just really kind of hit me. And the anti-SJW kind of side of Twitter, that sort of, you know, shoe on head, like kind of that sort of Dapperton crosses over into and stuff like that. June, shoe on head, and Lo Ping, and those people sort of rallied around this dude. And they were like, this person is somebody that we can love, because this is a person who is in a terrible, terrible situation, and this is a person who also does not appreciate the social justice warriors effectively pulling the teeth from the situation that he lives in by claiming the types of oppression that he experiences, even though they don't happen in the U.S. So they all sort of rallied around him. And there was an incredible outpouring of love and support for this guy. And several of these anti-SJW type YouTubers became close friends, as close as you can in the space of a few weeks. Well, Lo Ping last night posted a tweet basically saying that Riz had attempted suicide. And what had happened was Riz was under the impression that he had been doxxed, turned into his local police. He lives in Indonesia. And that would result in Most likely the police action would be a severe beating, like arresting and then a severe beating. But the action of his neighbors could be just to kill him. And that was sort of what led him to say, fuck, I'm not going to put my family through this. And so he decided to attempt suicide. Had to go to the hospital. Hours of surgery. I don't know actually if it was hours of surgery. Last night all kind of blends together. But I was constantly looking for updates from Loping and came out of it alive. His parents want to move him off grid, and they should. But what happened was, initially, Loping did not, I want to be clear about this, Loping did not insinuate that it was communists, but the same thing, a similar thing, has happened to Loping, and it was, and he pointed that out. So it wasn't like Loping said, I know who this is. He just said, this happened to me, and it was these people. And I found the video. Several people had the video. But it was kind of, people weren't wanting to share it because there were pictures of Riz in it. And you show somebody's face, man, they're fucked, right? Especially in that kind of situation. So people weren't wanting to share the video. I managed to find it and I immediately downloaded it. The one that I found was unlisted on YouTube. So it's not like it's out there in the open for anybody. I think I actually got the link from a tweet that was later taken down. But this is a 40-minute video of people raiding Riz's Discord with fucking troll images, basically. Just like gore and, you know, various things. And they sent an image. This is the thing that fucks shit up. They sent an image that said, Riz is an artist, and they sent an image in that Discord and to him on Twitter that said, you have 30 days to learn to draw hands or we're turning you into the police for being gay. They threatened a queer kid living in a country where that threat carries real physical danger. I want to believe that they can't possibly, by the way, it wasn't SJWs, which is what Ian immediately jumped to. And it wasn't communists, which is what I think Loping might have suspected, but didn't outright say. It was fucking trolls, dude. It was just straight up fucking trolls. Probably, frankly, based on the images they were posting and stuff, probably 4chan, like channers. But it was, they can't possibly understand the kind of weight that the threat they made carries, right? Like, there's no way that if you understood what you were threatening, you would do that. There's no way. Like, I can't conceive of a person who would have the intellectual capacity to understand what that kind of threat in that country to that person means who would do that. I'm aghast, really. Honestly, I first suspected it was SJWs as well. I didn't say it either because nobody knew. But I first suspected that it was because, frankly, that's the kind of shit they would do. Is if you post an Islamophobic, what they would call Islamophobic cartoon, and it's very possible you could have SJWs all up your ass, even if you are LGBT. These people eat each other. We know this. So I initially thought it was SJWs as well. Turns out, it was just fucking nihilistic savagery. And that is almost more terrifying because much like, you know, if you remember the Big Lebowski, say what you want about the tenets of National Socialism, dude, at least it's an ethos. That's kind of how I feel about this. It's like, say what you want about the tenets of social justice warriorism, at least it's an ethos. At least it wouldn't have just been nihilistic savagery and complete fucking ignorance that would lead to something like this. But it was. Maxo points out in the chat, that threat is a legitimate NAP violation. Yeah, it absolutely is. It absolutely is. It goes beyond just being a jerk. Because here's the thing, if they had just raided the Discord and left, they're fucking assholes. Like, that's it. They're just assholes. And you can condemn them for that and try to figure out who they are and call them out. Like, fine. You don't want to dox people. But, they're assholes, right? They're absolute assholes, and you have the right to treat them like assholes. But the threat to turn somebody into a government that is likely to cause them real physical harm and might in fact kill them, or turn them into a government that's going to cause them physical harm, and once that is figured out, his neighbors are going to kill him. I can't even comprehend it. I really can't. I cannot comprehend the level of ignorance that it would take to do something like this. And, it's hurt a lot of people. A lot of people became, in defense of nihilism, nihilism doesn't promote. No. I didn't mean that, idiots queer. I meant there was no ethos behind it. That's kind of what I meant when I said nihilistic savagery, is that it wasn't actually powered by any thought whatsoever. It was just, there was nothing to it. I didn't mean to shit on nihilism as a philosophy. I'm a fan of Nietzsche too. But yeah, it's fuck. It fucked me up to see that happen. I did not personally know Riz. I'm not one of those people that sort of jumped into Riz's life and was like, hey man, no, people love you, dude. We got you. He was trying to get out of the country. June Shoe on Head was helping him. And, I just kind of watched people whose opinions I respect and value mourn almost. He didn't die, but he came fucking close. And one of the guys in the video, at least one of the people in the video, the person who was actually making it, is known. I know who he is. Several people on Twitter know who he is. He's on Twitter. We know his Twitter account. He deleted his YouTube channel, I think. Or privated everything, but he's there. Like I know his handle. I can go look at his Twitter. I'm not going to be public about it because I think I may have already said too much. I'm going to have to go back and listen to this and see if I need to censor anything for Riz's safety. But yeah, this was. I want to make a point with this, and the point that I want to make is that in their ignorance, and I have to believe it's ignorance. In their ignorance, they showed that they cannot possibly comprehend the differences between these cultures. In the United States, if you were to send somebody a thing that said, I'm going to turn you into the cops for being gay. I'm going to take a drink. You said, I'm going to turn you into the cops for being gay. That is a toothless threat. It means nothing. The government is not going to take action against you for being gay. That kind of systematic violence doesn't exist here. Other kinds do. I'm not going to deny that, but that kind of systematic violence does not exist here. Saying I'm going to turn you into the cops for being gay is like, it's fucking stupid. Idiots Queer said they wanted to fear. It's literally terrorism. Yeah, I agree. Absolutely, it's literally terrorism. But, if you did that in the U.S., it would mean nothing. Now, I will absolutely admit that there are still places in the U.S. in which being gay will get you beat up. And that is sad and true, and that kind of thing should be scorned. I absolutely think it should be scorned. You don't get to commit violence against people because of who they are. But the kind of oppression that Riz faces is something that people in the West specifically, but in the U.S. especially, have no frame of reference for. And I think I just want to point that out. There are places in this world where who you are will get you killed. And we can't say that about a lot of places in the West specifically, but there's a lot of places in this world where who you are will get you killed. And the SJW crowd acts like those of us who do not support social justice warriors, they act like those of us who don't support that are wanting that kind of world, and it's not the case. If the kind of love that Riz was showed by anti-SJWs is the kind of love that I think we all want to see, Maxo says, I think you're giving the offenders too much credit. They almost must understand the potential repercussions of their actions. Sounds sociopathic to me. And Idiots Queer says, the only time a homosexual could get pounded is in the bedroom. No, I'm saying. And then he says, definitely sociopathic. Yes. There's a lot of, there are still places like in rural United States where gays will catch a beat down for being gay. And it sucks and it's bad and it's wrong and that should be. Nobody supports that. Social justice warrior or not, nobody supports that. But I needed to tell that story just to make that point that there's world's a big fucking place, and not everywhere looks like your home. Not everywhere looks like where you're from. And it's hard to remember that sometimes, because as humans, we have a limited frame of reference. It's part of our nature. We are limited in how much we can consider and conceive of. And I don't know if they knew what they were doing or not. I want to think they don't, because I don't want to think that people could possibly be that evil. But I guess we've seen evidence through history that people can, in fact, be that evil. And I also want to say Riz attempting to kill himself was the wrong move. I said on the previous episode, when I was talking about overprescription, and I was talking about antidepressants and things like that, I struggle with depression. I've struggled with suicidal thinking for years now, and especially now because of the living situation that I have right now, because of what's happened in my life recently. I have struggled with that thinking as well, and I can tell you, anytime I'm not in that place, when you're in that place, it seems like a good idea, but anytime that you're not in that place, you know it's not the right thing to do. And so I do want to encourage anybody who might be thinking that way, go ahead and I'm going to pull up, actually, I just learned about this the other day. I did not know that there was a crisis text line. No joke, I just heard about this the other day. I thought about using it. The crisis text line is, you text home to the number 741741. And a trained volunteer can talk to you over text. It's less personal and invasive feeling than a phone call. You can go ahead and text that. The whole thing is just shit from top to bottom, is really all I can say about it. The whole thing is just bad from top to bottom. And if you're feeling like you might want to get out, if you're feeling you might want to loose this mortal coil of your own volition, take it from somebody who does feel that and has felt that, when you're not in that place, you know, it's not the right thing to do. So go ahead and get a hold of somebody and get some assistance. That's the best thing you can do for yourself and for the people who love you. I'm going to move on, because that shit's fucking dark, and I'm going to move on to something even darker. Well, maybe not even darker, something equally dark, I think. I tweeted not long ago. I said that the reason I haven't been doing a show for the last couple of weeks, the reason I'm way behind is because it's because of what's happened in my life and things like that, and where I am mentally. Not a great place. I'll get through it. It'll be okay. But it's also because the main topic for today is frightening. And I feel the need to talk about it because I think it's fucking important. I'm taking another drink. I said this was going to be heavy. The main topic for today is something I've had a lot of trouble figuring out how I want to approach. Because the discussion around this is not only full of misinformation and disinformation and misunderstandings of the science, but it's also full of actual discussions that can be had, arguments that can be had in places where lines get blurred. I'm going to start this by telling you what I want to talk about, and then I'm going to start it, and then I'm going to move into explaining to you what I'm not talking about. Just to get rid of those blurry lines, just to get rid of those gray areas, I want to let everybody know what I am not discussing. And then I want to discuss what I am going to discuss. If you saw my tweet the other day, you know that the main topic for today is the normalization of pedophilia. The attempts by people who call themselves MAPs, minor attracted persons, to normalize their illness and make it seem as though they are harmless. Those of them that are non-contact MAPs or whatever it is they call themselves, where they don't actually touch kids, but want to. This is what I want to talk about today. Now, I'm going to start by defining our terms. Idiot says, I have a thread on Twitter. Have you read that shit? Yeah, I saw it. That's actually one of the things that led me to it. That and Redhead Libertarian and the people that she's been talking to, talking about this so much and seeing how much pushback they've been getting, really made me want to talk about this even more. Okay, I want to define my terms. I want to start by defining my terms. Pedophilia is a psychiatric, I'm just reading this off Wikipedia. It's good enough for a definition, a working definition that we can move forward with. Pedophilia is a psychiatric disorder in which an adult or older adolescent experiences a primary or exclusive sexual attraction to prepubescent children. Although girls typically begin the process of puberty at age 10 or 11, and boys at age 11 or 12. Criteria for pedophilia extended the cutoff point for prepubescence to age 13. A person who is diagnosed with pedophilia must be at least 16 years old and have at least five years older than the prepubescent child for the attraction to be diagnosed as pedophilia. Pedophilia is termed pedophilic disorder in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, DSM-5, and the manual defines it as a paraphilia involving intense and recurrent sexual urges and fantasies about prepubescent children that have either been acted upon or which cause the person with the attraction distress or interpersonal difficulty. So that is pedophilia. Now, I'm going to read a couple of other definitions. A few other, actually. The next one I want to read is hebephilia. It's a strong, persistent sexual interest by adults in pubescent early adolescent children, especially those showing Tanner stages 2 or 3, which I will explain later, of development, which is typically ages 11 to 14. It differs from pedophilia, the primary or exclusive sexual interest in prepubescent children, and from ephebophilia, the primary sexual interest in later adolescents, typical 15 to 19. And now I'm going to read ephebophilia. Ephebophilia is the primary sexual interest in mid to late adolescents, generally ages 15 to 19. The term was originally used in the late 19th to mid-20th century. It is one of a number of sexual preferences across age groups subsumed under the technical term chronophilia. Ephebophilia strictly denotes the preference for mid to late adolescent sexual partners, not the mere presence or of some level of sexual attraction. Now, the reason that ephebophilia is more gray is because it's ages 15 to 19. I mean, in some places, the age of consent is 16. Right? So it's gross. Like, I don't have a problem saying it's gross for like a 40-year-old dude to want to fucking 16-year-old. But this is one of those ephebophilias when you get into the gray area. I'm not going to be talking about that. I'm primarily going to be talking about hebephilia and pedophilia. And I'm going to call it all pedophilia. So there, we've defined some terms. We know what it is we're talking about. There's also, I do want to explain the Tanner scale real quick. Is a scale of physical development in children, adolescents, and adults. The scale defines physical measurements of development based on external primary and secondary sex characteristics such as the size of the breast, genitals, testicular volume, and development of pubic hair. The scale was first identified by James Tanner, a British pediatrician, and thus bears his name. Due to natural variation, individuals pass through the Tanner stages at different rates, depending in particular on the timing of puberty. In HIV treatment, the Tanner scale is used to determine which treatment regimen to follow, adult, adolescent, or pediatric. So the Tanner scale basically just describes what do your primary and secondary sex characteristics look like through life, and how do you kind of break that up into groups? Young or very young, prepubescent, pubescent, adolescent, whatever they call it, and then adult. So that's what we're talking about when we say the Tanner scale. Now, pedophilia, one thing that I want to cover first. I want to cover something first. The first thing that I want to cover is nobody knows where it comes from. Like many things about people, we don't actually know where pedophilia comes from. Idiots Queer says they use the same argument as the LGBT community. That's also what makes it hard. They conflate two ideas. It's harmful to the LGBT. Hold that thought, Idiots Queer. I'm going to get there. That's the road I'm on, my friend. You will be vindicated when I reach that point. What was I saying? Oh, we don't know where pedophilia comes from. We don't know what causes it. There are different theories, and things that have been noticed. One of the things that's been noticed is that pedophiles tend to have more white matter in the brain, and they also tend to, it seems that neurologically, where most people's brains are wired to, say, child protect, and this is the way that they phrased it on the last podcast on the left, the way that Marcus Parks phrased it on that podcast when they were talking about, I can't remember who, some serial killer of children, that the brain of a pedophile is miswired such that those impulses that are supposed to fire for, like, child protect the child, misfire for child fuck. So they sort of misfire, and it's like, child fuck, I gotta fuck the child. That's part of the, like, fuck, dude, I hate this fucking topic so much. That's one of the theories. Take another drink. That's one of the theories. There are other theories as well. There are some theories about genetics, which might bear some fruit because we know that like 50 to 80% of everything that we are is genetic. Typically the interplay between genes. So like you can have people say like a gay gene, right? Like that's like you can find a single gene that makes a person gay. That's not how genetics works. Genetics is an interplay between genes. So a thing that presents itself is going to be caused by several genes interacting. It's not just one gene that makes you, I don't know, fucking get breast cancer. It's one gene that might interact with a few other genes that can cause things to happen. So it's genetics is more complicated than that, but that's just kind of a layman's description of it. Point being, nobody knows what causes it. It's definitely possible that it can be caused by psychological trauma. Definitely possible that it can be caused by brain damage. There's a lot of serial killers. A very common thing among serial killers is that they had brain damage as a child, or a head injury. Not necessarily brain damage per se, but they suffered a head injury as a child. So it could be something about that. Like, it's, nobody knows where this comes from, but everybody knows it's a problem, except for those that want to normalize it. There is an ongoing argument, and you can see this sometimes in, you'll see this on Twitter and stuff like that. There's several Twitter accounts about this that are trying to come out and basically say, look, it's just a sexual preference. We're not, those of us that refuse to touch kids, we're not hurting anybody. Why do you want to demonize us? That's what they say. That's kind of their outlook on things. And so they want to normalize it as if it is simply a sexual preference, like being gay. In fact, as Idiots Query pointed out, they glom on to the LGBT community as if those things can be equated. Idiots Query says, in quotes, we're not offending. Right. That's what they say very often, is we're not offending. We're not hurting anybody. So they've kind of glommed on to the LGBT movement. They want to co-opt that and basically say, well, wait, if the lesbians and the gays get to choose who they want to fuck, if their sexual preference gets to be normal, why can't ours? That's sort of their argument, especially for, quote, non-offending pedophiles. There is an entire section on Medium called Pedophiles About Pedophilia, and it's full of Medium posts from pedophiles about being pedophiles. This, I think, is probably got to be one of the first footholds of this movement, is this Medium area, is this part of Medium. I'm going to pour a little bit more. So, effectively what they're saying is, we're not hurting anybody, and we want to be treated the same as the gays, TM. We want to be treated the same as these other people who have effectively gotten their sexual preference normalized. Or even, frankly, the BDSM community, where like things like Fifty Shades of Grey and stuff did a lot to normalize BDSM. Idiots Query says, no worries, like, I'll joke about it all day, but there's a difference between jokes and actually wanting to fuck children. That's the thing. Kevin Smith has a joke that I think is really cool, actually. It's kind of a cool joke, but I don't want to misrepresent. I'm not going to attribute this to Kevin Smith because I'm going to say it wrong. But he says something like, my dad was a really good man and he never fucked a kid, which is a joke, but it's also like a statement. It's like, my dad was a good dude and he would never hurt anybody. But the joke is, and he would never fuck a kid. But in this context, talking about this active attempt to normalize wanting to fuck a child, goddamn, is difficult. Now, I'm not going to entertain their arguments about pedophilia not being wrong. I'm not going to entertain them. I might discuss them in the article that I write that's going to go up and serve as sort of a thing in conjunction to this, as per usual. I'm not going to entertain them here. This is a disorder. This is a disease. These people are sick. And the solution to this, I want to be solution focused. I always try to be solution focused. I think there's two things that can be done. I think the first thing that can be done is that the LGBT community, which is a misnomer, there is no real LGBT community. Lesbians and bisexuals don't get along, nor do gays and lesbians. That's not a real it's not a real community per se. But I think if there could be a concerted effort, I personally want to see hashtag no pedos at Pride. I want to see the LGBT community tell these people to fuck off. I think that's a major first step And I think it's a necessary step. Because if the LGBT community accepts this, I don't think it can be beaten. I think the LGBT community has too much social power and social capital. And I think that if the LGBT community accepts pedophilia as part of all of that, it won't be able to be beaten. It will be normalized. So, first thing, I want to call on the LGBT community and my friends in the LGBT community to condemn this wholeheartedly. Maxo in the chat says, quote, I prefer sex with non-consenting beings. Treat me like everyone else. It's rape. Rape is not an okay preference. I agree. But yes, my first step to this is for the LGBT community to make it very clear in no uncertain terms that this will not be accepted. That's step one. And I think step two is for the rest of us. I think step two is to get smart. I'm disgusted by people who want to fuck children. I'm disgusted by the notion. The idea that you would find any kind of sexual gratification in causing that kind of harm. And I'm not shitting on BDSM shit. That's all consensual. Fucking a kid is evil. And I cannot see the idea that you would be attracted to causing that kind of harm being in any way healthy or good. But what we need to do is we need to be smart about this. I am a person who believes wholeheartedly that sunlight is the best disinfectant. This is why I don't want to censor Nazis. This is why I don't want to censor communists. This is why I don't want to censor SJWs. This is going to sound bad. It's going to sound like I'm defending them, but I'm not. This is logical. You have to look at this logically. We cannot push these people underground. They're coming up for air, and that's good. That's good for us. It's good for those of us who want this to never become normalized. It's very good that they're starting to show their faces. They are coming up for air. They're coming out into the sun. And from there, we can point them to a fucking therapist. We can point them to a hospital. We can point them to treatment. Because this is a disease. This isn't like, I don't think, this isn't, here's the thing. It's not a choice. These people are fucking sick. Their brains are broken. And as much as it cannot be normalized, okay, it cannot be, stigmatized is not the right word. It might be the right word. Fuck it. It cannot be stigmatized to the point that people are afraid to come out and go to treatment. That's one of the primary issues with mental health in this country right now, is that people are scared to go get help. And for people whose brains are broken, I think the best thing that we can possibly do is to say, you need to get help. This isn't natural and it's not good. Go get help. You're gonna hurt someone. Go get help. Because there is help. I think it's important that we do that. Because as disgusting as it is, as gross as it is, and as much as they may... It Is Queer says they can't rationalize it. That's true. They're in their own head. But once it's clear that it will never be normalized, then I think we can point them to help. I don't want less pedophiles in the world because we killed them all. I want less pedophiles in the world because we helped them. Idiots Queer says the second they have the thoughts, the second they have those thoughts, they need to get help. I agree. But we need to make that okay. This is the problem. People don't go get help for their depression because people look at depressed people sideways. People act like, having gone through it myself, when you tell someone, yeah, I've been through a couple of rounds of therapy. I go every few years, you know, it's helpful. They look at you like, what are you, a fucking serial killer? I don't think they can get cured, though, Idiot's Query says. They might not be able to, but and we're getting closer and closer to cures for all kinds of neurological disorders, all the time. So it's, and here's another issue, too. I don't think they can get cured right now, though, either. But the problem is, if we don't get more of them in there getting help, we're not going to learn anything. Science can't move forward if we don't have the subjects, right? If we don't have the people to actually try shit on. I think we have to make it okay to come out and get help. As disgusting as it is, they need to be able to go get help. I think I'm seeing people do shit the wrong way. I'm seeing people on Twitter telling these people to go eat a fucking bullet. Like, just get the fuck out of here. You don't belong in this world. You don't deserve to live. And you may legitimately feel that way. And that's fine. That's okay. It's fine if you feel that way. But you have to think about what that line of thinking and what that kind of attitude is going to lead to. That kind of thing is going to push people further underground. That kind of thing is going to make people afraid to come forward. It's going to make people afraid to get help. And that is going to mean that victims stay hidden. It's going to mean that activity stays hidden. And it's going to mean that science never learns about this. And that's, frankly, the wrong move. That's the wrong move. We need to treat this like what it is. We need to treat it like any other mental disorder and say, go get fucking help. I think that's the only way to solve this problem. You cannot normalize it as a sexual preference. It's not a sexual preference. It's not. It's a desire to hurt a child. But at the same time, we also can't stigmatize the person to the point that they're afraid to come forward and get help. And that's basically where I land on that. I think it's as, and I really only can say this. There's a lot of people who never have the misfortune of experiencing real mental illness, of experiencing real mental health crises. A lot of people do. More people do than anybody thinks, but there are a few people who never experience it. And I coming from the position of someone who has experienced mental health issues, never the desire to fuck a child, but depression, anxiety, suicidal thinking. I would not have gotten help if my family didn't tell me to. If my parents didn't say it was okay, and if my parents didn't help me with it, I wouldn't have gotten help because I would have been scared what everyone else was going to think. So we stigmatize mental disorders to the point that people don't want to get help. I know that because I've experienced it. And this is worse than me maybe just hurting myself. This is somebody with a real desire to hurt somebody, to hurt a child. And we have to accept that for what it is. It's a mental illness. It's a disorder. It's a sickness. It's a problem. And we need to encourage people with this illness, with this sickness, with this disorder, to go get help. You wouldn't treat cancer by telling the cancer patient to fuck off. And I think we should treat these people the same way. Now, and you also wouldn't embrace cancer. You also wouldn't embrace cancer and say, cancer for everybody. Cancer should be able to be in everybody. Right? I see this that way. It's just... Idiot's query. I see your thing in the chat. I'm not going to say it on the podcast, but I see you. I see you there, bro. That's pretty much all I've got. I know this is heavy, and I know there are going to be people who I do consider to be friends on Twitter who might hear this and say, no, fuck you. They've got to burn. And fine. You can think that. That's fine. I'm not defending them. I'm disgusted by it, and I think it's gross and bad. That's why I want it to go away. But I think the only rational way to make it go away is to have people go get help. So that's where I land on this issue. Good God, that's a lot. It's a lot, isn't it? This has been a very dense episode. It's been a very dark episode. It's also been a relatively long episode. So I want to thank those of you who have hung out and listened to me talk about this. I want to thank those of you in the chat for being there and for helping me get through this episode. I couldn't have done it without knowing that you guys were there, because if I felt like I was just yelling into the void, I probably would have stopped halfway through, because it's so heavy and so difficult to talk about and so difficult to frame correctly, that knowing that there's someone on the other side there giving me feedback and helping me along was excellent. Thank you so much for being there, guys. You really helped me out today. You really blessed me today. And that's I'm very thankful for you guys. So that's all I've got to say about all that noise. Jesus fuck. I do want to say this one thing. This is how I approach problems. This right here.
If you can't fix what's broken, you'll go insane.
You can't ignore the problem. You have to fix what's broken. So thank you all so much for listening, and thank you, Maxo, Idiots Query Birdo, anybody who's streaming live who's not in the chat. You're all wonderful, wonderful people, and I'm so happy to have you all there. Outro! That was the intro! Outro! Remember, everybody, you can find me on Twitter at DinoFiles, no spaces, no dashes. You can find the network at AltNet Radio. You can find this show and other shows all get posted to Alternative Internet Radio, AIRAD.io. You can find the posts, the blog posts that correspond to this show, at The Rogue File, roguefile.com. You can also donate to the show from there or from AIR. You can donate. You have many options for that. A lot of there's Patreon. There's also different versions of crypto you can donate. You can also get merch if you want something for your money. We have a merch store there as well. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank those of you who download to listen, those of you who stream live, and I want to thank those of you who rate and review us on iTunes or whatever platform. I want to thank those of you who hang out and chat and keep me on my toes during the show. You are all wonderful people, and you should all have a wonderful week.
This show is part of the Alternative Internet Radio Podcast Network. For more great shows like this, visit AIR at AIRAD.io.